This has been an ACB community call.
Today's Unmute Presents Community Call was hosted on Tuesday, April 16th, 2024.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another Unmute. As always, a couple announcements here at the top. We want to remind everyone that we'll take all first questions, and if we have time and get through everyone, then we'll take second questions. Please be respectful and let everyone get the same respect you would want answering your question. And there are no dumb questions, as always. The question of the day is, if you were to invent a tech gadget, what would it be and why? And with me, as always, I got Michael Babcock. How's it going, Michael?
It's going well. Thanks to Brad and Sheila for your help today. I greatly appreciate you helping make this project run. Yesterday, Demasi and I published TW56 called It's Our Therapy Session. I'll let you give that a listen if you're interested. Definitely on point with most of the topics that we typically discuss. Adrian submitted a piece of content, and I offered to share it with the Shell Phone Show, so I published it yesterday, called Dictating Messages in Facebook Messenger. So if you are curious how he's gone ahead and set that up, give that a listen in the Shell Phone Show feed. On Sunday, Digital Bytes published the Apple Crosswords, Moving Apps on iOS, and the Tribit X Free over-the-ear headset. I kept saying X3 in the recording. It's X3, just so people are aware. So give that a listen on Sunday, especially if you want a crossword puzzle that is accessible on iOS. All things Lady A, health, wellness, and fitness was published by Lucy on Thursday. And then on the Shell Phone Show Wednesday, we showed you how to change the voices. And that's a quick recap of content I have. Sheila, who do we got first?
Roberta.
Hello, Roberta.
Hey, Roberta.
Hi there. I am wondering, and I suspect it may be more complicated than I can do today, that I may need to speak with someone individually, how to adapt Wordle to make it accessible. And I saw some things posted a while back, and I was at a help center,
I think your phone is cutting out, but I will tell you that if you go to letsenvision.com on their blog, there is a... Okay, we can't hear you. I'm not sure if you can hear us. Can you guys hear her?
She sounds really cut out and far away.
Okay, so I'll just go over that real quick for anyone who might be curious. If you Google...
Three sighted people tried to figure out how to do the directions and were unsuccessful.
Okay, so three-sided people tried to follow the directions and they were unsuccessful. Is that correct?
I can hear you.
I think she has a ton of lag, Michael.
I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Directions said open the bookmark manager and they were unable to do that. I can hear you. You can't hear me.
So there's a huge delay. I would try leaving and coming back possibly. But I think I understand correctly what you're saying is your friends were unable to bookmark. They were unable to open the bookmark manager to install the add-on for making Wordle more accessible. Is that correct? Because
I don't see her.
Okay. All right. Who do we got next, Sheila?
Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff. How are you?
Good, Marty. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Great. Question of the day. I mean, it's got to be personal teleportation, right?
Yeah, definitely. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. So I'm going to do my best to explain the issue. Hashtag first world problem. We've got a couple of 2022 Apple TVs. The Siri remote.
I found some on results.
One of them.
I can check if you ask again from your iPhone.
No, please stay out of this, Siri. So one of them operates. Oftentimes I'll use I think it's the TV button. Like I'll double, you know, double tap that. And then I use the click pad to kind of swipe away apps, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
The Siri remote that's not operating normally in that respect, it I can't use, even though I've went into remotes and I've got the click pad set to, I think it's touch and click. I can't swipe up any longer on the click pad to close apps. Another thing that remote seems to be doing is, like when you're navigating through, for example, the settings, like there's kind of a white bar that goes over each setting as you're using the click pad to go up or down. Now that white kind of background stays on the selected item, and just like a box, if you will, does the scrolling. Does that make any sense whatsoever?
No. Well, I know that sometimes the remotes can be a little bit finicky on those.
Mm-hmm.
You could check for updates on your Apple TV. That might be something that would also, if there was any issue to your remote, it might resolve that issue at that point. Okay. Sometimes you just need to reboot the Apple TV, like your phone or your computer. But I will say another option you could try is downloading the Apple TV remote for your iPhone. And you may have a way better experience with that. It gives you some options that the regular remote that is the physical remote doesn't have. So like when you're typing in passwords or stuff like that, or you're searching for stuff, you actually get a full keyboard instead of trying to use the little rotor wheel to go all over the place to find the letters.
Okay.
That might be a better experience for you. I would try that.
And you don't have to download the Apple TV remote anymore. Just go add it to your control center. It's currently turned off. So if you turn it on, then you can organize it. And then under the Apple TV remote settings, if you find that direct touch interface to be not the most intuitive or focus jumps all over the place, you can go in and have it have an up, down, left, and right button in the middle of your screen. So then you find that and you can either split tap or double tap with VoiceOver. I don't know if that'll fix the issue that you're having, but that would definitely be worth experimenting with to see if you're able to control your TV better from the phone. It'll pop up a list of all of the TVs in your house and you just tap on the TV that you want to interact with.
Okay.
And really quick, you go into settings and then you go into control center. And then on the top half, you'll see what's already there. And the bottom half are items that are not there, which you can add to the top. So you look for the Apple remote, you add that, it'll move up to the top, and then you get out of that. And then you go back to your home screen, you make sure the VoiceOver cursor is somewhere on the top menu. Like for example, put the VoiceOver cursor on the time and then do a three-finger swipe up and you'll get the control center. And then you'll all be right. able to see the remote is going to be at the bottom in those squares next to the flashlight and the barcode scanner and that stuff.
Excellent. Thank you so much. And hopefully there's time for another question later. But thanks.
Sounds good. Thanks.
All right. Somebody with an iPhone, could you please unmute and tell us who you are?
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
This is Christy Marshall. I guess I haven't signed into Zoom for a while. But I'll fix that. My question is about the Habel One. Are you able to type text into that in a Pages or Google Docs? You'd want to type about a 20 to 30 page document.
So I didn't hear the first app that you're looking to use because your phone cut out a little bit.
Pages or Google Docs. Either
gotcha.
One.
Gotcha. Yes, you can. So the Habel One is used as an input device. You are able to input text as long as you can get the keyboard to show successfully with VoiceOver. Then you can use the Habel One to input grade 2, and you'll be able to interact with the document itself.
Okay. That's what I needed to know.
Yep.
Thank you.
Who do we got next, Sheila? Beth. Hey, Beth.
Hello. I have a question. My computer, what was that? I think somebody said there is a program besides Windows Media Player. Media Player either said not responding or didn't say, you know, what it usually says, you know, to that I can select songs. And when I went in there, I got excited. I'm like, I'm going to try to select songs and make a playlist. And somehow it didn't work. And also about the audio ducking on NVDA, how did you say I should do get that on or off? Thanks.
So I think the tool that you're looking for is called VLC. And VLC, if you Google download VLC, it'll take you to the videoland.org website and a direct link to VLC so you can download it. If you go, and to answer your second question, if you go into your NVDA menu with NVDA key plus N, so hold the NVDA key, typically your caps lock key or your insert key, and then press the letter N. This will open the NVDA menu. Go down to preferences submenu and press enter, and then press enter on settings. This will take you to the NVDA settings and put you in the category of setting options. Okay. If you press your down arrow once, you'll hear it say speech. And then if you tab 11, 12, 13, 14. Give me 1 second. I'll tell you exactly. Okay. So when you go to speech, you tab twice to change. And then, no, where do you go to? I will have to look this up real quick because I'm not finding it. And someone will probably jump in and let us know where it is. But this is the general area. And I will give you the information before the end of the call, Beth.
Okay, thanks. Okay.
Who do we got next, Sheila?
Judy.
Hey, Judy.
Hey, Judy.
Hey, guys. I am having a really frustrating issue with dictation in the Messages app. iPhone 2020 with the latest software, it will randomly repeat words, phrases, sometimes an entire sentence. Regardless of whether I use the magic tap, which is what I typically use, or the dictation button, it doesn't always happen, though. So I was going to call in about this last week, but it stopped happening and it started again. But it, like I said, doesn't always happen. Makes no difference whether I'm texting an iPhone user, Android. I tried turning dictation off and then turning it back on again, and I am stumped.
So it doesn't always work, but what it's supposed to do, if it was working correctly, is that, let's say you're going to open up a text message and you go into the body of the message and you dictate whatever you want to say to the person, right? If it's working correctly, what it's supposed to do is allow you to dictate what it is that you want to say. And when you're done dictating, it's supposed to read back to you what you dictated to make sure that it is what you dictated actually before you send it. But it doesn't always work that way. It does weird stuff sometimes. Sometimes it works okay. Sometimes it doesn't work okay. I don't know. It's just kind of a weird buggy thing. I'm not sure even there's a way to fix it. So the only thing I could really suggest is reboot your phone every once in a while. Check.
I do that all the time. I have the same issue.
Yeah. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes it starts at a weird time or doesn't do it at all. It's just weird, kind of wonky thing. When it comes to dictating and Siri and that stuff, there's not much we are able to do to resolve those problems. There are things that we have to wait for Apple to push out a fix for.
I resort to Siri, which, you know, I would rather do it in the app. I do find, now that you say that it, when it repeats back to me, that's when it happens. When it doesn't repeat back to me, you know, when I actually have to go in and read it for myself, then it's fine. So I've noticed it starts to repeat back to me, and I've had stuff, you know, 6-7 times, which I obviously have only dictated it once. So
right.
So no other thoughts, you guys? That's it. I got to live with it.
You might be able to go into your settings and go to messages and or go to dictation, and you might be able to turn off. I'm not sure if this is an option, but you could research into the settings and see if you can turn off that repeat back to you. If you could turn that off, then it would only repeat back to you if you want it to. So basically what you would do is dictate the whole thing out. And when you were done, you place your finger on what you dictated and then it would read it back to you if you wanted it to. Otherwise, it would just not read back to you. You could see.
Yeah,
if you can
because that's what I do usually is that I just, you know, I'll go to it and then I'll read it. You know, I'll read what I've dictated. So
I'm curious, okay. Judy, by chance, have you had a chance to check with Apple Accessibility? Because I wonder if they're aware of this and if they have a fix.
No, I haven't, but I will.
That would be my next move for sure.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll do that. All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Before we go on to the next hand, I wanted to readdress Beth's question. It looks like it could have potentially moved in NVDA 2024.1. So if you are running an older version of NVDA than the update that was last week, you would go into preferences, go to settings, go to sound, and then tab to change. And then in that change dialog is a audio ducking option that you can enable. It was not there in 2024.1. So if you shift tab back from the change button to the categories list, and then down arrow here, go to audio. And then when you're on audio, if you tab, there's a option for audio output device. And then the second option is audio ducking mode. And you have a couple of options here. I think for your case, try the always duck option. And then once you've selected that, tab to apply and then choose OK. So who do we got next, Sheila?
Terry.
Hey, Terry. Oh, and thanks to Jane. She just texted me it. So go ahead, Terry.
Thank you. I hope I'm unmuted.
You are. We can hear you.
Oh, thank you. Okay. I have a general question about microphones to use with a PC to record not professional, very amateur music. I would like to be able to record singing, a single voice singing. I would like to be able to record with a microphone, a guitar, probably not both at the same time. But I am so confused with condenser mics and the other kinds of mics. And when I look at all the options on Amazon, my head whirls, and I have no idea what I should even be looking for. So any general advice would be wondrous.
Okay. So a couple things. The first thing is, with your guitar, do you have a pickup on your guitar, like where you can plug it in, or is it just a straight up acoustic guitar and that's it?
I do have a pickup. My preference would be not to use it only because, well, I never have used it, but I could probably do that too. So if you could address both, that would be wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. If you're going to use your guitar and you want to plug it into the computer, you will need a little device called an interface that you can plug into your pickup on your guitar. And then on the other side of that, it will plug into your computer. So depending on what kind of computer you have and what kind of ports you have, like regular USB-A you can get on one end or regular USB-C, there's a few different options.
Okay.
And what that will do is it will allow you to play your guitar and record yourself into the computer without picking up any other room noise or anything like that. It's going to solely be your guitar. You could sit there and talk to somebody else while you're playing and record. A lot of people like that because then they can play and they can talk out loud, or if somebody else is in the room, you're not having all the other room noise conversations going on, you know, with your while you're playing the guitar.
Right.
For your needs, I would look at a thing that's called iRig, and basically it's like a little tiny box and they range from about $150 to $200. And basically what it does is it converts it gives you the plug to plug into your guitar and then plug into the computer, and then allows you to play your guitar that way. That's going to be the most easy, basic way to do that. I mean, they make a million other interfaces that have all kinds of buttons and gadgets and all kinds of stuff. Yep. If you don't want any of that,
no,
you just want a super basic thing, that's what you would want. You basically have two plugs. And that's all. Then okay. You choose your recording software, which there's free stuff out there.
Yeah, I tend to use, I have some that I use. Thank you.
Right. And then the microphone thing is the same way. You can do one of two things. You can get a microphone that has both a USB or an XLR on the microphone itself. And that allows you to plug your microphone with USB directly into the computer and not have any other thing that you have to mess with, you know, an interface or anything like that. Or you can have an XLR into the interface, and they make some really basic ones, but basically that allows you to get your microphone audio into your computer. And The only difference with that is the microphone is obviously wide open to you. So you are going to have to make sure that nobody else is around and that you have no other noises as best you can around you while you're either talking or singing into the computer.
Okay. XLR, is that a, what is, does XLR allow the mic only to send my voice into the computer? Is that the situation with XLR, or what does XLR actually do? I'm sorry to be so lengthy.
No. An XLR, the only thing that it really does is it allows you to plug your microphone into an interface. So that's basically what XLR does. And then all of the options would be on the interface that would control your microphone. So if you don't want to mess with an interface, then you can get a microphone that either is only USB or it has USB and XLR so that down the line. You can choose to plug that same microphone without spending more money. You know, right now, say you don't want to mess with an interface. You would take the microphone, plug it right into the computer. And if you decide, I want to get an interface and try and expand what I'm doing a little more, then you do have that capability of having XLR as well on your microphone that will then allow you to plug it into what interface you decide to get later, you know?
In choosing a microphone, what should I look for that would be good for vocal recording?
So here's what I would do in your case, and probably in my case too, if I had to pick a new microphone. There's a company called Sweetwater. And what I would do is I'd reach out to Sweetwater. I specifically work with a gentleman named Tamir. And Tamir is very good at describing things to me. And I would let him know, hey, I want to record acoustic guitar, and I also want to record vocals. Here's my budget. What microphones would you recommend and why? And I think if you start with here's my budget, then that'll let him know what ones to suggest. Because I'm not as up on microphones as I know he would be.
Thank you so very much for your answers and your time.
Yeah. Thank you, Terry.
Good luck.
Thank you.
All right. Phone number 301 ending in 877. Can you unmute and tell us who you are, please?
Yes. Hello, all. This is Nate from Maryland.
Hey, Nate.
I have a question. Hey, Nate, how you doing?
Doing well, thanks. Can I use voice control on an iPad to get pages with voiceover to advance or go back? What I'm trying to do is either put words to a song or chords on a page. And I know you could have presenter mode, but that goes at a set speed. If I get it wrong or miss something, I'd like to go back. Can voice control be used to do that?
You should be able to. I'm not sure exactly how you would set that up in Keynote specifically or Pages specifically, but
is this specifically for giving a presentation?
No, it's probably more for piano chords. And I have, let's say, a B flat major 7 on one page, and the next page would be a B flat minor 6. And let's say I'd present a mode might go too fast or too slow. After I do one, I just want to tell it next. Or if I miss it, go back.
So I think you could. I would start by experimenting with that a little bit. I remember an app, and I'm trying to see if I can find the app, and I'm not finding it right away. So if I find it, Nate, I will mention it and let you know. But there was an app designed for this to where you can easily advance at whatever rate you need to. What I would try in your case, though, is open voice control, then open the tool you're using that you need to be able to advance to, and then try saying something like next page or move forward and see if that works for you.
Yeah, I know there is an app, but I think there's a pedal on the floor. Or there's another app where you actually have to touch the page to advance or to move back. I'd prefer to keep my hands on the piano keyboard.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'll see if I can find the app and let you know what I can find out about it, and we can go from there.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Nate.
Bye now.
Lori.
Hi, Lori.
Hey, Lori.
Hi, Sheila. Hi, guys. So my question is, when I go to the control center, there's one feature I don't use, but it keeps telling me that it's selected, and I want to unselect it, but when I do, it turns VoiceOver off, and that is not guided access, but what's the other thing? Accessibility shortcuts. And I must have used that feature one time, but now I don't use it, so when I tried to deselect it, it turned VoiceOver totally off. And then I had to ask Siri to turn VoiceOver back on again, which really frustrated me. So what's an alternative way I can deselect accessibility shortcuts without turning VoiceOver off? Thank you.
So let me ask you a question just to clarify so we're on the same page with this. When you said you deselected it, does that mean you opened Control Center, you found where it said accessibility shortcut and it said selected, and you double tapped, and then it just said accessibility but didn't say shortcut, and VoiceOver stopped talking, correct?
Not quite. You got three quarters of it right.
Okay.
I opened Control Center and I went to where it says accessibility shortcuts. And I wanted to deselect it because it said it's selected. But when I double tapped on that feature to deselect, it turned VoiceOver off.
Okay. So what I have done is I have just taken that whole accessibility shortcut out of my Control Center. So I don't even see it. It doesn't say selected or not selected. It's just not there. So if you go to your settings and then you go to Control Center, as Marty was explaining, at that point, you'll have two sections on your screen. The top half is the currently active icons in your Control Center, and the bottom half is the icons you can add to your Control Center. If you double tap on an icon at the bottom, it's going to move it up to the top, and then it's going to add it to your Control Center. So what I bet is happening is at the top of your screen, in that section there, under included controls heading, you're going to see or hear the accessibility shortcut. And it's going to say remove accessibility shortcut. If you double tap on that, then that's going to remove that toggle switch out of your Control Center. You can still use Siri to turn VoiceOver on and off, and you can still press your home button or side button three times to turn VoiceOver on or off. It just means that that will not show up in the Control Center when you open it up. So that's where I would start and see if that fixes it to the way that you expect it to.
But that scared me when that happened. All I wanted was to deselect it like I can do other things, and I couldn't do it with this. Yep. So, you know, that really scared me because I was like, no.
Yeah.
Because when something happens to my iPhone is going to be 4 years old in September of this year. And yet things still scare me when I use them. And that's one of them.
Yeah. So I would go in there, Lori, go to settings, go to Control Center, and then in the top half, find the accessibility shortcut. It's going to say remove accessibility shortcut, double tap on that. And that'll just take that out of your Control Center. Okay.
Okay, that's great. Thanks,
All
Marty.
Right. Thanks for your question. Have a great day. Who do we got next?
You too.
I'm going to jump in real quick for the people who weren't here at the very beginning. The tech question of the day is, if you could invent any tech gadget, what would it be and why? If anyone wants to jump in.
All right, Matthew.
Hey, Matthew.
Hey. How you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. My question has to do with, and I'm just kind of curious because I've been tinkering with it in Outlook 365. I have my messages, at least in a couple of accounts. I have my messages sorted by subject, which I find much, much easier than going by. Question has to do with And this is what I find is that when I expand the group, they're grouped by subject, not by date, but they're grouped by subject. And if I want to, when I expand the group and go into the list of messages in that group, is there a way to change it so that the oldest message in that group is first rather than the newest one? I haven't found it, but maybe I'm missing something. So I'm just curious if that's even possible.
So I want to understand this or make sure that I understand correctly. In the email inbox or email mailbox that you're in, your messages are sorted by subject line, not by date, correct?
Correct.
And then when you come to
it, A to Z. So I have it, you know, not that that matters, but I have it sorted so that they're alphabetized, obviously. So they're by subject. But when I expand that thread or group, mm-hmm. the first message in there is a message that's like, say I have like 30 messages in a group, but they're the oldest message is first. Is there a way to reverse that?
Oh, so the oldest message is first when you expand it?
I mean the
it?
Newest message, I'm sorry.
Okay, gotcha. I think there would be, we'll look if I do.
So this is just sorting how you want your mail sorted, whether you have the newest at the top or the oldest at the top kind of a thing. Is that what you're
within the group? Yes. So like I have the group, the messages grouped. So grouping is on and the group is sorted by subject. And then within that group, they're sorted, I assume by date, but I'm not, it looks like they're oldest to newest. I mean, newest to oldest.
So I think I just figured it out. If you go up to your view menu and then you tab to the arrangement submenu, mm-hmm. if you tab once, there's an option that says reverse sort and mine is currently not checked. If you check that, I wonder if that will give you the experience you're looking for or if that will reverse sort all of the subject
lines. It reverses sorts. I checked that. It was reverse sort. It reversed it. So I had them A to Z, and then when I reversed it, it went Z to A.
Yep.
Those are the groups.
I just did that, and
it's
I saw
within
it
the group. It's within the group that I'm looking to sort within the group so that the oldest message is first.
Well, I
just
do
to make it
have...
easier, because I might have a group where there's like 50 messages, and I'm trying to then go down to the bottom and of that group and then work my way up. It's a pain.
I do not have an immediate answer for you, but if someone else does, please feel free to chime in and let us know, because that would be interesting.
I've been tinkering with that off and on for a while and just haven't been able to figure it, but thank you very much.
No worries.
No problem.
Go ahead, Marie.
Yeah, I believe most of the time you can sort it by subject, and then if you tab over, you can also say sort ascending, and I think that will change the sort on date and put the oldest at the top, which is the way I like it. That's the way I like
you
to read my email.
Ascending,
also.
Right?
Yes. Ascending puts the oldest at the top because that's the first message in the thread. So you see, it's ascending down to the from the oldest one, which was the first one, to the newest, which is the last one.
Mm-hmm. So where are so I see what you're saying. So you perform the sort messages and then you tab once to sort ascending, correct?
Yeah, I believe so, yes. I was a little bit late getting in on this. What program is he using?
So he's using Outlook, and
okay,
he has his messages currently sorted by subject, not by date.
Right.
However, when he opens the thread of a conversation, he wants mm-hmm. that to be sorted by the reverse chronological.
Exactly. And I have some of my groups.io lists and done the same thing. And I sort by subject first, and then you can click over and sort ascending. And it should do what he wants.
Thank you very much for that. I didn't even think about sorting my subject or my inbox by subject. So thank you guys. I'm going to have to play with this. Who do we got next?
I knew somebody would figure that out.
Yep. Thank you, Marie.
You're quite welcome.
Marie. All right. We've got Brad in Clubhouse.
Hey, Brad.
Yes, we have Jane on stage. Jane, go ahead.
Hey, Jane.
Hey, Jane.
Hello. This is a great resource for Windows users if you're looking to install programs such as VLC Media Player and you're tired of going to the individual websites, which sometimes I do. There used to be a site, and I think it's still available, called ninenite.com, N-I-N-I-T-E.com, where you can, there are checkboxes. And there goes my Mac. You can check the checkboxes and get the installers, bulk installers, if you want it from there. I wish the Mac had a similar thing, but it is kind of neat.
Perfect, Jane. Ninite is a great tool on Windows, and it is still around, and it's really easy. And then you can copy that executable file that you download to a thumb drive, so you don't even really have to go back there, and it'll do it automatically. Jane, play with Homebrew on the Mac, and that might help you. Sheila, do we have another hand?
Marie.
Hey, Marie.
Okay, this time I have a question.
Okay.
All right.
And it's also about Outlook. I have several different emails accounts, and they're all on the Outlook. But I have a Scribbles Live account, which is an Outlook, a Microsoft account, and of course Outlook is Microsoft. Recently, messages in my inbox, old messages that I've left there, I didn't put them in the archive folder, I just left them in there, but they're ones that I wanted to keep there because a lot of times they have links to something I go to often and that sort of thing. Recently, in Outlook, those messages are not showing up in my inbox. They're just like gone. They're not in my trash folder. They're not in the archives. However, I've got Thunderbird Portable. When I go into Thunderbird and go into that same account, they're all in the inbox.
Well, one suggestion I would make is, let's say you have a few emails that have Zoom links to things that you use all the time. Mm-hmm. I would make a Zoom folder and I would move those things into the Zoom folder. That way they'll stay there without the inbox thinking they automatically need to, oh, these have been here too long, so we're going to move them somewhere, or we're going to archive them or whatever. If you move them into folder.
I've never had an email client ever decide to delete anything out of my inbox unless I did need to delete it myself. And yes, I can move them to another folder. But the point is, they're actually there if I can see them in the Thunderbird client, but not in Outlook. That doesn't make any sense.
By chance, I presume, because you just taught me something with Outlook, you've already looked at this, but is it filtered to only show unread messages?
No. It's got filtered to show all messages. I checked that. That's one of the first things I did.
And do you group your messages by date?
Yes.
If you disable grouping by date, do the messages show up?
I don't group by date. I sort by date. Yeah.
You sort by date, but you don't have the option to where they can group by date and enable.
No.
Okay.
Mm-mm.
That's a strange one. I
may have to call Microsoft Accessibility because this is really weird.
Yeah. Go ahead, Brad.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't remember where it is, but in your Outlook settings, you open Outlook settings, go to mail, and then tab through all those settings. There's a slider, and it will ask you, I can't remember how it's labeled, but basically, how much time back do you want messages to be displayed? That's why Marie sees them when she goes in another client.
Okay.
And you want to take that slider, and like I said, move it to 100%, move it to forever, always, always show them. I think by default, it's set something like 50%, 80%. So after a certain amount of time, messages that are
old,
certain amount old, just aren't shown. They're still there.
Yeah, I know they're there. I know they're there because they're showing up in Thunderbird. And by default, they're not set gone.
It's set to show you only a certain them. So
I got
hunt
it,
through your mail settings and you will find it and move it to maximum, however it's labeled.
Fantastic. Thank you, Brad.
Marie, is something maybe when you talk to Microsoft, if you do, to say, hey, you know, we don't want our inbox to do anything other than keep our mail in
right.
there. So please leave our settings to do nothing unless we ask it to.
It's not like I had a ton of them. There's like, you know, seven or eight messages that I've kept there for ages. And all of a sudden, it started deleting them and it wasn't doing it before. But thank you, Brad.
Thanks, Brad.
All right, Alice.
Thank you. And I have a question with my desktop computer with JAWS. Yesterday, I was trying to print a document and I had just had someone assist me with changing the cartridges of ink in March. And mm-hmm. already I'm receiving the message that I need more ink. And I don't even get the option anymore of using, you know, other colors to mix temporarily, anything like that. It just would not print. So that's one question that will go along with the next. Do you recommend a certain printer or type of printer? Mine will be 3 years old only in June.
So
there's many options for printers out there. Are you just strictly using it for documents or are yes. you wanting to print photos and things like
that?
No.
Just personal documents.
Well, I would recommend looking for a black and white laser printer. The toner in those lasts way, way longer than an inkjet printer. You get just tons and tons of prints that way. And they range, I would say, $150 to, you know, for a black and white one till about $200. I mean, of course, you can go way up from there, but for what your needs are, you can get away with a black and white laser printer within that price range. The only other thing I would suggest is if you're going to print from other devices besides your computer, make sure that you get one that will allow it to go on the network so that you can print like from your device, maybe your phone or your tablet.
Not, I'm currently just printing from the PC, but I just have trouble with the, you know, changing the cartridge myself and that sort of thing. I'm really looking for one for ease of use, or the sighted person who assists me can easily take care of the change of whatever kind of ink it has. So,
right. Well, for example, on a black and white, laser printer, you put it in there, it's going to be in there for a long time because you get a ton of copies, more than you'll ever think that you would need to print. It lasts a really long time and it's only the one. When you get an inkjet printer, then you've got to do the black ink and you've got to do the color ink. Mm-hmm. And depending on the manufacturer, it could be a little different depending on, you know, what way you go. And if you're not needing to print color, you're going to save a lot of money because those inkjet cartridges mm-hmm. tend to run after you replace them, you know, once or twice. So you've paid equally for what the printer costs itself. So the yes. laser printer will last you way, way longer than an inkjet will if you're just doing black and white documents and that's the only need you have for it.
Do you have any idea why I'd be getting that message when I've printed very little in the past month?
How often do you use your printer?
That's what I'm saying. This within since we put in the new black cartridges, I've used it very little.
Yeah, you have to continue to use them. If you just let it sit for a long period of time, then the ink gets weird and it kind of dries up and it makes it hard to print. And then what happens mm-hmm. is you'll get an error saying, you know, that the ink is low because it's mm-hmm. drying out or it's just not being used. It's not moving inside of there. So
is
you can get wonky errors when that happens.
Pardon me. Is the rule of thumb using it once a week enough?
Yeah, that yes. should be fine.
Okay. Thank you so much. Have a good day.
You too.
All right. You don't have any new hands. So, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Hello again. I don't know. It seems like this maybe started with 17.4, maybe 4.1. I like having my weather widget in the top left position. So the focus goes to weather. And since maybe 17.4, or like I said, 17.4.1, that weather widget is continually asking me for location permission. And so what I've had to do is I'll tap on the widget, and then that brings up the, you know, like a, it's not the right term, but a dialog box in which I can now not choose always. I can, like, the most I can select is use while the app is open. So I select that, swipe up to go back to the home screen. And then after that, after weather closes, or, you know, after I've gone back to the home screen, then I get a secondary pop-up that asks for permission for the widget. And I allow that. Then I go into settings. And then I think it's privacy, security, and then location services. And then I select weather again, and then select always. And you would think that would take care of it, but it, like, every, you know, there's no rhyme or reason to how often it's asking me to give weather location services.
Just on a whim, because you mentioned one place, but in settings under weather, where location is, does that reflect your always selection under your location and privacy weather selection?
I mean, I don't want to hang you guys up, and because, you know, my navigation skills aren't nearly where they should be.
No worries, but that's where I would look. Okay. If that is an issue, it might be worth Googling to see if other people are having that specific problem. I noticed that for a little bit. I haven't noticed it requesting my location recently either. And like you, I have my weather widget on the top left corner of my first screen.
That, so I can just touch up there as well, Michael, because I want you to experience the same frustration I am.
I actually am experiencing the same. I have the same issue, not necessarily with weather, but if there are apps that do require location data, every so often I'm getting a random pop-up that says this item is using location data. It's checked, you know, it's used location data this many times. Do you still want this app to use location data? And even though I say always, because it gives you the option to be able to do always or only when you use the app or not at all, whichever option it gives you, if it's an app that I use all the time that I need it to be doing the location services, even though I pick always, it'll still come back, you know, a few days later and say, do you still want to use this? You know what I mean? So, yes. And I don't know how to resolve it. It happens with random different apps. And so it's kind of a weird, wonky thing.
Okay. Well, I thank you for saying that, Marty. Now I'm not as irritated at Michael that he's experiencing.
This is what we call an intermittent issue. And that means sometimes you get it, sometimes you don't. And of course, when you take it in to the car mechanic and say, hey, here's my issue, or your computer into the computer store, hey, here's my issue. And while they're there, nothing happens, right? Hey, and they tell you everything is perfect and don't worry, just take it home and use it. And then of course you have the problems again. So,
yeah, it's again, more of an annoyance, but I mean, yeah. So yeah, thank you.
No worries. Yep,
no problem.
Got about 10 minutes.
Who do we got? That's what I just started to say. Restoria.
Hey, Restoria.
On the question about the email, if I'm on my phone, my emails will go so many, so far back older. But if you go to your computer, they're still there, even on the Outlook. They will display even some you forgot you had.
So, yeah. That's the thing about email. Sometimes it doesn't go away. Sometimes it all goes away. Yeah. It's just your luck.
But I was wondering if anyone's having any problems with their iPad with my Outlook receiving their messages. It was all right until I got the last update.
There is... on your iPad, on the top right corner, I'm sorry, on the top left corner, there's a button called Focus. And I don't know why Outlook does this, but you have to click that Focus button because sometimes Outlook will put your emails in the regular inbox. And other times it decides that it needs to go into the Focus inbox. So I would click on that Focus button and see if the emails that are not just arriving in your inbox are going into that Focus button
on your iPad.
On your iPad, on the top left corner, there's going to be a button called Focus.
And okay. If you do see them, then you can go look in the settings or come back and let us know, and we can tell you where to go. And you can disable focus mode for inboxes. And if that fixes it, then that'll solve your problem.
Okay, thanks.
Yep, no problem.
No worries.
Nora.
Hey, Nora.
Hello. I just want to answer what the question whoever gave is. I would invent something that would have a special microwave that would not be over the internet, but still would talk to you.
A microwave that would talk to you?
Yeah, and one of our kitchen appliances, like a microwave, that would talk to you instead of using bump dots and things like that.
Funny enough, gotcha. There actually is a microwave that talks to you. I believe it's like an Amazon. I want to say it's an Amazon Basics microwave that you can use through the A-Lady and tell it to do whatever commands. I don't personally have one or never used one. I don't know how well it works, but it does exist.
Or thinking about inventing something like a regular conventional oven that would talk to you.
That would be cool.
There you go. Yep.
You could just tell it what temperature you want it to be on. It would just put it there.
Yep, that's right.
That's a good one.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Teresa.
Hey, Teresa.
Okay, I might be like Nora here, but is there, if I could invent something, I don't know if it already exists, a device that could, you know, you could have Braille output, but you could also have read the audio book from Bard on the same device at the same time. Let's say if I wanted to read a Braille book, I could, but if I wanted to read something in audio, I could do that too. And I could switch over and listen to an audio book.
Gotcha. So you want to be able to get NLS content, both Braille and audio, on the same device.
Right. Instead of having to have a e-reader, a Braille display for your Braille, and then a stream or something, you know, your smart device, phone or whatever for your audio book.
There may already be a device out there that does that, but that's a great suggestion there, Teresa. And definitely if something comes up, we'll be sure to let someone know.
Well, thank you.
Thank you, Teresa. Appreciate it.
Should save having, you know, get all this equipment, you know, when you could do everything on one device.
And then you'd only have to learn one interface to navigate, and you'd know how to navigate the audio portion and how to navigate the Braille books too, if it's the same commands.
Right.
Yep. So thank you, Teresa. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We've got one last hand, Beth.
Hey, Beth.
Okay. Yeah, I have a question, but first the question of the day. I think I would invent something that, like, you know, you get in like a regular car, you know, the car. But you put this gadget, like it's kind of like a A-Lady. Oh, like you have to know, like it was. You could say, "I'm going to," and then this address, like it will ask you, "Where do you want to go today?" And like you can say, "I'm going to this address," and it will take you right there.
That would be awesome.
And it will say to get out or to, you know, just say. If I'm going to the mall or whatever, it would say you go out and you go to the front of the car or the back of the car. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yep, yeah. Solves that last 10 feet problem to tell you where to go. So that would be awesome.
Yeah, and my question is, like, I read on Seeing AI, I guess now you can, like, it will tell you what's in a room, like, how when they said teach your device to know what, you know, objects you have, like you can use Siri. I didn't understand what they meant by that.
There's an app. So when you open it up, there's a new tab, and you hit that tab, and then let's say you're staying in a hotel and you've never been in that room before. You could open up the door and then stand right at the door and point your camera straight ahead of you, and we'll do the best it can to understand and describe to you what is in that room. So it'll say there is a table with a light on the right side, and the TV is straight ahead of you, and the bed is on the left side, and it'll try and explain and give you as much detail as possible at whatever you're pointing the camera at. So if it's a room, it'll try and describe the room. If it's something else like a couch or whatever you point your camera at, it'll try and describe it to you and give as much information to you as possible.
Okay, like it would automatically know it's a couch and like...
Yeah, it's like pretty cool. Like you should try it in your house and just stand by a door and point your camera straight out in front of you and have it describe to you and see how accurate it is in a room that you know what everything is and see how well it describes to you what's there.
Okay.
This is Marie.
Hey, Marie.
Can I interrupt just a minute? There is a brand new feature on Seeing AI that will let you take a certain object, like in your house. So the sofa, and I haven't used it yet, so I don't know exactly how it works, but you go to the sofa. I think you take a picture of it, or you just point the camera at it. And then at another time, or maybe you're in a strange place, at another time, you can use that feature and it will actually give you directions to get to that object.
Well, that is cool.
No kidding.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. That's a brand new feature on Seeing AI, and I haven't experimented with it yet. So,
Wow.
Yeah.
It's very perfect. Powerful. Hey,
guys, you got 3 minutes.
Yep. All right.
Go ahead and wrap it up, Marty.
All right. Thanks, everyone. And as always, thank you, Sheila and Brad, for all you do. We love having you here helping us out. To everyone else, thanks for coming. If you have any questions or comments or anything you want to reach out to us about, you can reach us at feedback@unmute.show. And for all the things we have going on, you can check our website, which is unmute.show. And everyone have a great week, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you.